I'm calling the meeting of May 5th, 2025 of the Planning Commission to order. Our first order of business will be roll call. Cindy?
Commissioner Beely?
Present.
Commissioner Curran? Commissioner Dickinson?
Present.
Commissioner Lind?
Present.
Commissioner Monroe?
Present.
Commissioner Moraes?
Present.
Commissioner Stepanicic?
Present. The next order of business are minutes of March 24, 2025. Is there a motion to approve?
So move.
I'll second that motion.
A motion by Commissioner Lind, a second by Vice Chair Morales. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Those are passed. And next on, we have communications. I'd just like to briefly acknowledge that this is probably going to be Don Dickinson's last meeting with us, and really want to express my gratitude for all you've given to the commission, and particularly when I first joined the commission, it was just this history that she always had that I knew nothing about, was always so valuable. And throughout our whole time here, just your insightful comments and questions, I think has always led to better decisions by the commission. So again, thank you so much, Don, for what you've done.
Well, thank you. Actually, I was just thinking it was 50 years ago, January, that I started working for the county in the planning department. And I've been around the Civic Center mostly on and off over the years, but including 2 years on the grand jury, and I mean my 23rd year here on the planning commission. It's been a long time.
I'd like to just chime in and particularly thank Don for the mentoring of newbies to the Planning Commission. It's been really wonderful working with you. And I am also a professional planner and worked for the town of Fairfax many years ago. That's where I first met Don in that context. So it has been a delight to reacknowledge our friendship and relationship. But thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't want to gild the lily too much, but I second and third everything that's been said. This is my 12th, I think, the beginning of my 12th year or something like that on the commission. And the historical context that you bring is so valuable, and I don't think there is a meeting that we've had where, or very few, where Don hasn't said, you know, when I was in the planning department, this parcel came before us, and this is what we did, and this is a historical framework and the context for where we are today. And that is so invaluable and insightful, and I honestly don't know where we will be without your history and your knowledge and yes, your mentorship, and just the way that you are able to deliver that information. It's not hubristic. It's very helpful. So it's a big loss for us, and it's a small loss for you because you don't have your parking permit, but it's a big loss for us, and so I can't thank you enough for all of your contributions, both back in the 70s and in the last 23 years.
Thank you, Margo.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you, Commissioner Dickinson. It's been great hearing you, and I cannot imagine or think about how can you retain all that information, because I don't even memorize phone numbers. So it's great to have shared this table with you, and you'll definitely be missed with all the experience that you bring to many projects in around the county. Thank you.
Thank you.
We might see you out in the audience, you know.
Yeah. Yes, you might.
We may be testifying. We're going to be on the watch here.
You're going to still keep us on our toes. Yes, yes.
Director's report.
Actually, I had something under communication.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, go ahead.
In the spirit of full transparency, I was contacted by some residents in Point Reyes Station who are involved with an application, a 37-lot subdivision. And it is a pending application. That's the reason I mentioned that. They contacted me for history and interpretation of some code sections and all, and I did review a couple draft letters. The staff decision was appealed to the board, and it was a question of categorical exclusion under the coastal, under the LCP. That appeal was withdrawn, but there is a pending application, and I just should disclose that. I mean, I gave them advice, and I assumed at the time I did that, I wouldn't even be on the commission. But anyway.
Thank you. Any other communications? If not, then director's report.
Thank you, and also on behalf of the staff, I want to express our gratitude and appreciation for all the many years of service. It's really a distinguished career, and in my estimation, you've probably had more impact than any single person right now on planning in Marin County. So there's some things coming up after today's hearing. The May 19th hearing is going to be canceled. That is when that week is when the board is having budget hearings. So they take up the commission chambers on at least that Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, in case you're interested in watching any of that. On May 29th, which is a Thursday, we have the 150 Shoreline design review. Manny is going to be working on that. And that is got some history to it. It is related to the SB 35 application in Marin City, which you may have heard about. And it is an application for, I think, 32 units in a multifamily building. We'll provide you with more details as we get closer. On June 23rd, we don't have any items currently scheduled. In terms of the summer, though, we don't have, yes.
Is there no meeting on June 2nd?
There's no meeting on June 2nd, yeah. We had originally thought that was going to be one of the board budget dates, yeah. Yeah. So we do have some things coming up this summer. So I had previously discussed with you the idea that we would have a workshop out in Noss Field, just to kind of introduce the commission to Noss Field. Since that time, we've gotten into a hiccup kind of with Caltrans, and so we're going to have to go through a couple of extra steps regarding the crosswind runway in order to reflect that being no longer in the plan. We thought it'd be better to delay that workshop until we've gone through that so that we can have maps that are actually up to date for all of you. So we were hoping to do that this month. I think at this point, we're probably looking towards later in the summer, perhaps August. We'll see how things go with Caltrans. We'll keep you updated. And we've already, Rick Beach was helping us out with the scheduling there. So we've already been in touch with him about that. So we'll let you know later this summer about when we can have that. I think it's going to be a good experience for everybody to get out there. We're also anticipating that the seminary project is going to be coming back before your commission. I'm not sure the exact date, but the EIR is going to be, the final EIR is going to be released in the next couple of months for public comment, and then within a couple of months after that, it's going to be scheduled for your commission. So that'll be probably later this summer, and we'll let you know what the exact date is when that's coming out. The last thing is the PC retreat. So we are looking forward to having a retreat with all of you and the staff. And there's been, I'm not sure if the contract has been signed yet, but we're looking at a contract with an organization called the Center for Organizational Effectiveness, and they would provide us with a facilitator, Danielle Scarborough. And we think it would be a great idea for them to reach out to all of you and have brief kind of discussions with you about what you hope to see in terms of that retreat. And so look for that call. provide your input about how to schedule that. Then we'll be following up with an agenda for all of your approval before we actually have the retreat. And then the retreat, of course, it's not a hearing, but it's a public event. So that'll be up there. Yes.
Is there a date for that?
No, we don't have the date yet. We haven't even signed the contract yet. So, but we will be signing that soon, and they'll be reaching out to you. And we figured at this point, probably need to do those interviews first and then schedule a time for the agenda. Does that sound okay?
Can I ask a question about, will it be on a regular commission meeting time slot or any other time?
That's a good question. I'm not really sure. And I think it kind of remains to be seen. Now, it does have to be public, but that doesn't necessarily mean it has to be here in the chambers. And I don't know that the chambers necessarily has the best setup, but that's something to provide to your input to Danielle when she gives you a call.
Okay.
Yeah, I do think it would be better if we can to have a venue where we all can sit around a table, because the chambers is a little bit awkward in how it's set up.
Yeah, we're sort of presuming that, but we'll see. We haven't set it up yet.
Also imagining this might happen in the fall when there's...
We'll have to look at the dates, because you do get into the summer months with holidays. Yeah,
yes.
Exactly, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, we'll find a date that works for everybody.
Yeah, when the agenda comes back, I presume at that point in time, we can then discuss the date to have the session.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Right.
Okay. So I think the next thing is recent and upcoming board hearing items. So your commission recommended approval of the hazard mitigation plan. Subsequent to that, the board did adopt that into the countywide plan on the 15th of April, which is good news. The selection process for commissioners is occurring tomorrow at the board on the 6th. The board's going to have a code enforcement workshop, if you're interested. That's going to take place on the 13th. That's got an overview of the code enforcement process, how that works. All the information will be made available online, of course, but it's also going to be a workshop at the board on the 13th. And then the board budget hearings are the 19th, 20th, and 21st, at least. I'm not sure if there's other dates that will also be set aside for those. But that's kind of what's coming up at the board in the next month or two.
It's now time for open time for public expression. This is for items not on the agenda. And the time limit is 3 minutes. But if you're representing a public agency, it'd be 5 minutes. Any speakers? There's no one. Then we'll head on to item number 4, which is a local coastal program environmental hazard amendments. And the contact on this matter has been Kristen Drum.
Thank you so much. As you could see from the memo that we wrote, there's no presentation today. But we went back and forth. We've met a number of times with the Coastal Commission. And at this point, we feel like it's probably best to suspend work on the hazards sections of the local coastal program. It does not seem like there's a feasible path forward with the scope of analysis that we had anticipated. And there's a couple of things in play here. One is the, I think, core... One of the core reasons for doing these amendments in the first place, which was really to give people a better ability to raise their homes and their properties to avoid flooding. And going back and forth with the Coastal Commission staff, the way that they view coastal armoring and the relationship of coastal armoring with the regulations in the Coastal Act and in our LCP around coastal act, coastal armoring is quite different than our current set of standards. We typically, either because these are improvements to existing properties or because we are able to grant variances, we're often able to allow these residences to be raised. these new standards that I think the Coastal Commission is promulgating is a stricter standard, closer to a taking standard than a variance standard. I'm not going to get too legalistic, but it is a more demanding standard to meet. And we really have tried to make things better, but I'm concerned that this could make things worse. And, you know, when the board adopted the local coastal program amendments a number of years ago, 2018, I guess, at the time there was concern raised about the fact that the hazards were not incorporated into that set of amendments. And the idea at the time was that we were going to start working on bringing those back. And we took that commitment very seriously. We have really worked very hard to be able to bring back a set of amendments that is as close as possible to what the Coastal Commission wants, has broad support among the communities that would be most affected, and would also meet your commission and the board's desires. And, you know, we have had multiple meetings with community members and community groups, multiple meetings at your commission. So we've really taken that commitment very seriously. I think we've met that commitment at this point. I don't think that there's a way forward. And so at this point, we are recommending that we just suspend the work on this. However, we're very committed to continuing work on sea level rise and on climate change. And it's really important to understand that there is this whole other body of work which is required under state law, SB 272. And there is an extensive set of detailed instructions, almost, that the Coastal Commission has now promulgated as of the end of last year about how to do that analysis, which is necessary to comply with SB 272's requirement that a sea level rise adaptation plan be created for the entire county, not just the coastal zone. To do that, though, there's a much greater level of analysis, geotechnical analysis, flooding analysis. It's very, very in-depth. And in looking at the analysis required for 272 and comparing that with what we were hearing from the Coastal Commission about what they'd be requiring for this level of effort that we proposed right now, even in terms of just a phase one, it was really closer to the 272 analysis. We're not going to do it twice. It's too laborious and time-consuming and expensive. So we don't want to do it once. We want to do it right, and it's going to be part of that 272 analysis. 272 also does require that we go through a LCP amendment process, which is something that we do intend to do in a number of years when that's done. But the scope of the 272 analysis is also very, very large and kind of keys in with some of the larger strategic focuses of the of not just the CDA, but of the county in general. And the county is looking at how to structure an organization, what kind of governance structure would work best to try to deal with some of these climate change challenges and sea level rise and adaptation in particular. It's not quite clear yet. We do have a consultant that's working on this analysis, AECOM. They've had some community meetings. They're meeting with other stakeholders. And so that analysis is ongoing. But what I see is some decisions being made about the governance structure and then a 272 analysis with a sea level rise adaptation plan, and coming out of that, a set of LCP amendments that address hazards more in general. So I can't give you exact time frames. At this point, there's a lot of work ahead, but I think that given what we know, now is the time to turn our attention away from the hazards and focus instead on the longer term strategy. That's all my comments. Thank you.
So where does that leave homes in the area, in that jurisdiction, in the intervening time?
Well, it leaves them essentially in the same place that they've been for the last several decades. As I mentioned, we do, you know, either these are exempt when they're trying to raise their homes or they're applying for variances in coastal development permits, which we do. I mean, probably the most routine variance that we issue is actually for the finished floor elevation and sea drift, right? So we're used to issuing variances over the term. That's not going to change. And that's probably the best deal we're going to get for the moment until we actually do this 272 analysis. Mm. And that's the concern, which is leading us to want to suspend the work.
Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
Yes, Commissioner Monroe.
Sure. You mentioned that you don't know what the timeline of the consultant's work is. I was wondering if you think that we're going to need to amend the scope of the existing consultant's work, or it would be a second scope of work, when we might have a sense, at least a rough sense, of what the timeline for the new sort of combined package would be.
It's hard to say. I mean, I haven't heard anything about the OCE's office wanting to amend the contract for the consultant's work. I don't necessarily think that that's going to be the end of the work that's done. I can see future contracts as well. Now, the 272 analysis compliance needs to be achieved by 2034. We would hope that that's actually done well before then. But this is a major investment of time and money into doing this analysis before we get to the actual point of coming up with a plan.
Any other questions? Yeah, Commissioner Dickinson.
Jeremy, at the last meeting, I mentioned the fact that there will have to be amendments to the Coastal Development Code to reflect state law in terms of housing. Do you still intend to proceed with that? I mean, it's a different issue, and most of it is just what's specified in state law, but it's not so much a policy.
Yes, and in fact, that's going to happen very soon. And one of the reasons that we're going to be releasing the amendments related to housing in the next few weeks. Yeah. And so we will be returning back to your commission probably later this summer or the fall after we've done public outreach about those amendments. Yes, that's what we're turning our attention to next in terms of the LCP.
Okay. That actually seemed very different because it doesn't raise policy issues. It's more just bringing us into compliance with the current state housing law, so that makes sense.
Well, the existing regulatory structure does that for these variances that you mentioned are frequently processed. Does that involve a takings analysis?
No.
So in the future, that situation could change.
Well, I mean, I think in the future, the Coastal Commission is not completely inflexible about how they address some of these coastal armoring issues. But what they want to see is a thorough analysis to understand what is the best way to go about that, what's the least environmentally damaging way to go about that, what mitigations may be in place to go about that, and so they can balance the competing interests in the Coastal Act. And so that's really what they're looking for, and we don't have the analysis to back it up. Right now what we have is a piecemeal approach, essentially, with variances and exemptions for individual projects.
I'm just wondering what other jurisdictions like ours are doing. Are they, engaging in the same delayed analysis, whatever, or do they have a different framework?
I talked to Santa Cruz last week. They're probably closest to us. They're a little bit ahead because they decided to do a greater degree of analysis for their LCP amendments after their first round of hazards amendments failed. They went back and they started doing additional analysis, and they think that analysis is going to be adequate for both 272 and for the amendments. Mm-hmm. So essentially what we're saying is we should probably do that same thing. Yeah.
Clarification. Any more questions? All right. And Jeremy, when we after we hear from the public, would we be taking any action today or just simply not taking action, but again, yeah, we'll be suspending everything?
There's no action to take.
Right, it's I just, think yeah. so. Right. Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Now's the time for public testimony on this agenda item. And the time limit is 3 minutes per speaker. And if there should be a number of speakers, so everyone can line up, at least reasonably so, we'll move things along. And please identify yourself when you address the commission. Thank you.
The microphone.
Is the microphone? There we go.
It's working.
My name is Jeff Lumens. Hopefully you have some of my writing in your packet on today's non-action. And I wanted to just say thank you. That's really all I'm here to say to the commissioners for some of the wise questions last time that I think did help lead to this outcome. I want to specifically say thank you to Commissioner Dickinson, since I've been coming to these meetings for many, many years on this issue, and it'll be very sad not to see you next time we come, although I hope you'll be in the audience. But I want to say thank you on behalf of the Stinson Beach Village Association and the residents of Stinson Beach. As Jeremy said, we met with county many times. They were extremely courteous, respectful, thoughtful, worked with us on a number of different occasions, two major turnout meetings, close to 100 people each that they hosted, as well as smaller community meetings. So I also want to say thank you to Jeremy and Kristen from CDA. I think this, as he said, was a lot of effort. I do not believe it was wasted effort. I'm really hopeful that we'll roll this in, all that we've learned, into the SB 272 process. I think that's the right way to do it. And I'm really looking forward to actually getting real sea level rise plans and actual adaptation measures. It's so much more fun than kind of fighting over the nuance of the detail in the Coastal Act. So I hope we'll be putting shovels in the ground in the next 10 years pursuant to this action today, non-action today. Thank you very much.
Members of the Planning Commission, I'm George Clyde. I'm a resident of Marshall and secretary of the East Shore Planning Group. I'm here today to express my appreciation for the efforts of the Community Development Agency to amend the LCP in a way that would allow the protection of homes and businesses in Marshall and along Tomales Bay. Jeremy Tajurian and Kristen Drum of the CDA have developed a real understanding of the challenges that property owners along Tomales Bay and in Marshall face, not only from sea level rise, but also from the interpretations and policies of the staff of the Coastal Commission and the Coastal Act itself. Given the circumstances outlined by Jeremy today and in his supplemental staff report, I commend the CDA for its decision to suspend the efforts to amend the environmental hazards chapter at this time. Thank you. The East Shore Planning Group looks forward to working with the county in the next few years as it develops a more comprehensive amendment of the LCP with a sea level rise adaptation plan for West Marin, as required by SB 272. The consulting firm that is conducting the countywide study regarding how the county should deal with sea level rise on both sides of the bay, the ocean and the San Francisco Bay, recently wrote in an interim report, quote, West Marin is unique in many ways and requires its own distinct planning effort, which will require more leadership and resourcing from the county. There's plenty of research and planning to do in the months and years ahead, and the homeowners and businesses in Marshall will be fully engaged. In the meantime, the current environmental hazards chapter of the LCP, which has served us well for nearly 45 years, will continue to be an effective guide. Thank you.
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Ashley Lil Gibbs. First, thank you, Commissioner Dickinson, for your longstanding service. It's been a pleasure to see you at the meetings over the years, and I feel that it is a great loss of your knowledge on the commission, but thank you so much for your service. I am the Executive Director of the Environmental Action Committee of West Marin, or EAC. Today, I'm also speaking on behalf of Surf Rider Foundation. We may have a unique perspective here, but we were disappointed to hear that the county might once again postpone amending the environmental hazards chapter of the LCP. As George said, continuing to use hazards policies from 1981, before sea level rise, was publicly contemplated. The Marin LCP update process has been ongoing for 17 years. We've been involved that whole time, and we do worry that there will always be an excuse found to postpone planning for sea level rise and other hazards in these vulnerable communities, resulting in a piecemeal variance-based approach, as Mr. Tajirian mentioned. It's illogical from our perspective to further postpone comprehensive hazards planning for sea level rise. The SB 272 deadline of 2034 is 9 years away. But sea level rise and its impacts will continue all that time without a coherent framework for protecting both property as well as coastal resources. In fact, the Marin County Civil Grand Jury wrote last year on May 31st that Marin cannot wait until this deadline to complete the plan, since sea level rise is already impacting the communities, all the more reason to update hazards now. And just because we want the county to work with the Coastal Commission, which it sounds like that is happening, to create a Coastal Act compliant LCP does not mean that we want the hazards postponed indefinitely or even for a few years. So our hope is that the cooperation between the county and the commission would result in fewer delays, because a chapter could be brought forth that's Coastal Act compliant when it comes to the public. And we know that this process requires really difficult decisions for our coastal communities, but delaying won't make these decisions any easier. We have been participating in the public sea level rise meetings held by ACOM, and we very much support a collaborative regional planning. We supported SB 272, but I don't feel that that's a reason to delay the hazards updates. While the ACOM meetings take a countywide approach and have the San Francisco Bay unique requirements, the coastal zone is the only part required to update its LCP under this law. And unfortunately, based on our prior experience, we are concerned that the SB 272 update may not be completed in a timely manner, further thus delaying the hazards update. So we respectfully request that you would recommend the LCP hazards do remain a high priority for the CDA, and that discussions continue with the Coastal Commission. So thank you.
My name is Lokalani Devone, and I am the immediate past board chair of SeaDrift Association, standing in for our current chair. I have lived in Stinson Beach for over 30 years, both in the Cayes in town and later in SeaDrift. I am an avid birder, an avid surfer, and so have been extremely fortunate to enjoy the rich natural environment of such a special place. I know I speak on behalf of for myself, my family, and my neighbors that I hope to be able to enjoy it and share it for many years to come. In this decade-long process, we are very grateful to this commission and to the commission staff, Jeremy and Kristen, for listening to our concerns and for working collaboratively with the Marin coastal communities. As we have argued, the Coastal Commission's environmental hazards permitting requirements unfairly force homeowners to relinquish important legal rights and to forego reliance upon customary government services such as road maintenance and the provision of basic utilities. We support the position that these are inappropriate for inclusion in Marin's local coastal plan. We wholeheartedly support the staff recommendation to suspend further consideration of the environmental hazards amendments for now and to pursue more thorough analyses and broader public and agency engagement called for under Senate Bill 272. Our hope is that with additional time and increased funding for scientific, technical, and engineering studies, a more measured, collaborative, and reasonable adaptation strategy can be achieved, one that results in a plan that protects not only structures, but coastal resources, public access, as well as the unique natural habitat surrounding Stinson Beach. We thank you for your time, and SeaDrift and its members stand ready to work with you to help meet your commitments under Senate Bill 272. And with your indulgence, I'm going to ask, if the members of SeaDrift community are here today, I would just ask that you raise your hand for the commissioners. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon. My name is Cedric Chow. I'm on the board, and I chair the legal committee of the board of SeaDrift Association. I was a litigator for 40 years before transitioning to become an arbitrator. I'd like to share several observations. First, and you've already heard this before, but I really do appreciate, we appreciate the cooperativeness of your staff. We had meetings and we talked to them, and we always appreciate their courtesy. Second, I can assure you that the 300 Seadrift homeowners are laser focused on sea level rise. They can look at the sea level every day, look out the windows. They're very focused on it. And they're very focused on Marin County's thoughtful response to how are we going to go about this. Third, I'd like to talk about the settlement agreement. I was originally had offered to meet with the county council and the planning department after the last March 24th meeting, since there have been some questions raised about that. But then with the new direction of staff, which we support, it's not necessary at this time. However, I would like to, you know, I think we've all forgotten, and maybe some weren't around at the time of the settlement agreement. Let me just pause for a few minutes on some of the high points. There are at least two lawsuits, one in state court, Marin County, and one in federal court, Eastern District of California. The settlement agreement, and I speak as a litigator, it's actually a big achievement for litigation, bringing together all these stakeholders, and there were many stakeholders in this litigation, to arrive at a settlement that all considered fair, and fair to everybody involved. The Coastal Commission was one of the key parties. They signed. Their executive director signed. Their outside counsel signed. The Marin County Board of Supervisors, the chair, signed. The State Lands Commission executive director signed. The Attorney General's office signed. So it's not a, and it lasted, you know, multiple years. The rights of Seadrift Association, of Marin County, of the public, of all stakeholders were considered before the settlement agreement was implemented.
We only have about 20 seconds left, so just to keep in mind in terms of your comments now.
2 minutes, all right, I'll just point out that the agreement calls for ordinary maintenance and extraordinary maintenance. Extraordinary maintenance includes the right to expand the height and length of the riprap wall, which is one of the provisions that the Coastal Commission's what they wanted to potentially abridge. There are other things as well, but I will defer to my other speakers, the other speakers behind me.
Thank you very much.
My name's Kevin Shanahan. I'm my wife and I are property owners in the Seadrift community at Stinson Beach. As property owners, we have a significant financial stake in the outcome of decisions made by the Marin County Planning Commission's, the Coastal Commission, and state and federal authorities. Given that, we want to make clear that in no way did we agree with or accept the environmental hazards draft segment of the local coastal plan presented on November 20th, 2024. As we understand it, the sections were adamantly disagreed with, as was outlined in my letter to Marin County staff dated December 18th, 2024. They were reconsidered and written out from what we heard, but then written back in prior to the scheduled meeting on March 24th. At that hearing on March 24th, despite much time and effort invested by most, if not all, stakeholders, no conclusions were reached. Since then, it appears much consideration has been given to the commission to taking more time and to get things right, given the complexity of this very challenging situation. My wife and I are deeply invested stakeholders, strongly urge the Planning Commission to pause the whole process and pull together a task force of agencies to address the sea level rise and how best to deal with it collaboratively and successfully in our community, as has been outlined today. These decisions are far too complex and consequential to be rushed into. We have the time to do it right, and we need to use that time to ensure we do get it right. Thank you for your consideration of our input.
Hello, my name is Vicky Sebastiani. I've never done anything like this before, so bear with me. I live on the ocean. I am a resident of Seadrift community, and I grew up on the beach. I have owned my home for over 20 years, and I'm a full-time resident. I'm a permanent resident. That is my home. And over the years, my family has spent countless hours with me and enjoying our ocean life and my upcoming, now going to be 10 grandchildren. It's such a delight to see them there, and we all are very happy about the fact that they will continue to enjoy it when I leave the earth. Stinson is our happy place, and we care tremendously about the environment and our surroundings and being able to enjoy it. I walk the beach twice a day with my dog, and as with all the other neighbors, we carry plastic bags with us because paper would collapse. But anyway, plastic bags to collect trash. I've called Marine Mammal several times with animals that are sick or wounded that need help. We're just simply private property owners who are trying to enjoy and protect and preserve our own property. We don't want to develop any multi-unit anything. We just want to enjoy what we thought was ours to enjoy when we bought the property in the first place. I also work with the Stinson Beach Fire Department. I am the area lead for Seadrift for the Disaster Corps, and there are about 320 homes actually in Seadrift, and along with the leaders of the Calles and patio sections, the importance in maintaining the use of Calle del Arroyo is paramount. With that many homes and the hundreds of people that occupy them, not having access to emergency care, evacuation, and help is critical, as you might imagine. So keeping that road open is of paramount importance to us. That's about all I have, and thank you for working with us to preserve our rights as we understand them. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Larry Klopp, and I've been a long-time resident of Stinson Beach and the Calles and also into Seadrift. We're kind of middle-class folks that actually got there where we could afford it. Now we couldn't. And I've taken over as our architectural review committee chairman, and I didn't realize how much work we do with you and with our residents in trying to get things done. I think that we really appreciate what you're doing and clearly identifying areas where we have architectural impacts and what we can do to preserve our particular sense of ocean and nature. What I wanted to just briefly talk about was just the a resident brought up at our annual meeting just on Saturday that she was referred when she had a deck replacement to go to the California Coastal Commission, and they've come back and put a title restriction on her home, and she says you can have rebuild your deck or you have a title restriction on your home never to rebuild again, and I just it just hit me sideways. I had to come in today and just say, we can't let the Coastal Commission do this kind of thing to us. We have four residents that I know of who've had title restrictions put on their homes in Seadrift. So I thank you for all your work, and we're looking for a collaborative solution in getting this done. I live also on the ocean. I see it every day. Sometimes it's pretty big. Sometimes it's most of the time it's pretty nice. But we've never had water come over our seawall. Thank you very much.
Any other speakers this afternoon? If not, then the hearing is closed. Any further comments from commissioners?
If I may. Oh. Yeah, and thank you for everyone who took the time to come here. It's good to meet you. If not, shake hands, at least see you all. I I would like to comment that I hope that coordinating the SB 272 process and the hazards updates does not equate with interminable delays. So I would like to encourage staff and this body to come up with a timeline that feels reasonable and that feels like attainable. And I think that we will all benefit from that. But to the point of not just, you know, pushing this down, I do think it does need to remain a priority. So I hope we can get a sense of that timeline and maybe have an informational item periodically. There is so much technical information that I think we can really benefit from. A comment from the last meeting was that I very much would like to see and need to see, and I saw in your memo, Jeremy, the role of infrastructure, comprehensive infrastructure updates. I think that also because these the questions of adaptation and nature-based movement are so challenging on the individual level, if we have analysis that is conducted at a more, there's been conversation about what is, you know, community adaptation look like, but sort of precursor studies, sort of, you know, categorical assessment of, you know, what are the opportunities for managed retreat, and where are we really pinned in? So I think that that information is going to be really, really important. So I guess my hope and sort of, I guess, if I may ask for future updates, another item that was raised last meeting was the review of the settlement agreement, which I have reviewed, but I think it'd be very important for everyone on the commission to receive, and for us also to have a conversation or receive an opinion from council. So that would be another, I think, really important action item, if we may.
Yeah, I think it'd be a good idea for us to get copies of the settlement agreement just for future reference. Yeah, thank you for the comment. Any other comments? Commissioner Dickinson.
I'd just like to add that I expressed concern at the previous meeting about the piecemeal approach to the major issue of sea level rise that the path that we're headed down, and argued that there should be a more comprehensive look at it, particularly with the requirements now in effect of SB 272. And so I'm pleased with the point we're at this point. I think it is the appropriate way to proceed, because there are a lot of overlapping issues here. It should all be addressed comprehensively, rather than separately, where it, in the long run, it could take a lot longer with the back and forth that typically happens with the Coastal Commission staff. Anyway, so I support the staff recommendation.
Well, first of all, I want to thank members of the public for coming and giving your comment. Two questions. One was, wanted more update on the litigation and settlement process. So thank you, Commissioner Monroe, for asking for that. I'd love to see a copy of the settlement agreement. And secondly, is there, what's the county's thoughts or the staff, your thoughts on the title impositions that are happening while we await this big report that may not come until 2034? Which seems like a really long way away.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it comes before then. But first, in terms of providing you with the settlement agreement, of course, we're happy to do that. And we can give you updates as there's developments along the way with the AECOM study or other studies that are done. We'll be happy to bring those back as informational items. I think that would be helpful. The title requirements that are being placed by the Coastal Commission, typically what happens is that if it is in their jurisdiction, their permitting jurisdiction, they have the authority to be able to impose those requirements as conditions. Now, they often ask us to impose those requirements as conditions of approval And to date, we have said no because we do not have the policy backing to be able to do that. So it really comes down to a jurisdictional issue. So when a project is in the Coastal Commission's jurisdiction, they will tend to impose those requirements, whereas the county will not.
But the county and the Coastal Commission jurisdictions overlap in certain areas. So what takes precedence? It does seem like if the county, you know, doesn't have the requirements because you don't have the policy underpinning them, but then the Coastal Commission comes in and tags title, that seems like a conflict.
Yeah, I should have been more specific. So what we're talking about is original jurisdiction. So in other words, the Coastal Commission gives us the authority to issue coastal development permits in their stead for certain areas, but not for others. Those areas that they've retained jurisdiction is called original jurisdiction. So we don't look at those coastal development permits at all. It's a little bit confusing because there's also the appeal jurisdiction, but that is the county's jurisdiction. And sometimes the Coastal Commission will appeal the county's approval of a project, and then when they bring it before them, they can then impose those conditions.
Clear as mud. Thank you. There's always been a conflict between the Coastal Commission and the county, and maybe this report and our updating of the LCP finally and the hazards and everything might create some more cross-jurisdictional consistency. Is that the hope?
Yeah, that's the hope. And I think, you know, with that basis, the analytical basis to make some of these decisions, we would hope to get to a place where everyone agrees on a single approach and that we all follow that.
Hopes and prayers, people.
Hope so.
Let's hope that. Thank you for asking that, because that's...
Nothing else. Again, thank you to the public for being here today and also for staff for all the great work on this. And I think we have this is the right outcome at this time. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're adjourned.
Patient is.
Thanks, Kristen.
I don't think we have had a McFerrin in a while.